Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Today on The Ether, Cosmoverse. No, proof of contribution and the next generation of smart contracts. Chatting with Manfred Toron. Let's take a listen.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Cosmoverse Twitter space. Welcome to our weekly Twitter space. It's such a pleasure, and I can't believe that I'm saying this, but this is the last Twitter space before Cosmoverse. And today we will talk about GnoLand, and we have Moffre from GnoLand here on the show. But before I introduce you guys to our guest, let's wait for another people to join. And besides, I also want to introduce you once again to my lovely co-host, CryptoCito. How are you doing, man?
What's up, what's up? Everything is good. Medellin is ready for 1400 cosmonauts to come together in 4 days. It's crazy that it's Thursday. Monday we're kicking off Cosmoverse. A lot of exciting things will happen. It's cool to see just like how every project is involved. GnoLand, Ignite, they're also coming full force with their teams. Bunch of workshops going to be there. Hundreds of developers. Also from different communities, not just from Cosmos, but also beyond Cosmos. So I'm really excited for everything. I think we have done most part of the job so far. Just a few minor details that we need to clear up in the last 2 days. But I think everything is ready. Medellin is waiting for you guys. And yeah, I'm pumped.
100%. Yeah, get ready for Cosmoverse. Very pumped to see you all in Medellin. And our guest today will also join us in Medellin. Moffre, how are you doing? It's such a pleasure to have you on.
Hi, I'm good, and you?
Also good, yeah. We can't wait to welcome you to Medellin. When will you arrive?
On the 24th, I guess, maybe 25th. I don't remember how we... with the time zone shift.
Is that your first time in Colombia?
Yes.
Nice. That's cool. I think you're gonna like it. I think a lot of people, like, I remember the first time I came to Colombia, I didn't know really what to expect, like how it is, because you know, you see a lot of things and you watch NARCOS and you're like, oh my god, this is crazy. But you know, right here, it's like, it's just amazing. The city is beautiful. And I know there are some people also listening right now, they're already in Medellin. And I'm sure they're having a good time. We also see David Michal. I think he was just here. So yeah, I hope everyone is coming with excitement to Medellin. It's a beautiful city, and there's also a lot to discover in terms of fintech, crypto, Web3. They're all very, very open to it and very intrigued to get involved. Also, not just like the people, but also from, you know, the institutional side of things. The government, even, they're very open to this. So yeah, I hope you have safe travels. Just make sure that when you fill this CheckMate form, that you don't get crazy with it, because it's a bit weird of a form. But other than that, I think you'll have a smooth travel, I hope.
Okay, thanks.
Nice. And now I think you guys will see everything on the ground. So no need to dive deeper here. We told you hundreds of times how cool Medellin is. But for the very first time, we will talk about GnoLand here on the show. Moffre, GnoLand is quite a young project, so to say. So maybe could you walk us through a broad overview? Maybe could you also speak about the GnoLang language?
Yes, sure. The project is young, maybe a little bit more than 1 year old, but at the first time, it was a project from a solo guy, Jake Wan. And it started becoming a community project earlier this year. So this is a very young project. I think it's also an old project because it is the next phase of the original vision of IBC, the Internet of Chains, etc. So it's a young implementation of an old idea. So GNUland is a smart contracting platform, so it's a chain, and it is powered by GNUlang, which is the language behind the smart contracting language behind GNUland. Into the detail, the smart contracting platform will be radically different than the others. We want to allow existing Web2 developers to come in the Web3 ecosystem without too much effort. So we decided to choose an existing language which is well adopted, which is robust, which has very good opinion. So Golang from Google. And we will try to go further in the developer experience with more tools. So developing smart contracts is like developing Web2 application. The GNOLand chain will have some particularities, but if we just focus on GNOLand, that can power many other chains in the future. So GNOLand and other chains, any of them, not only the one from the community. We will enforce the transparency in smart contracts. So you can't upload smart contract without uploading the source. You ensure that anyone is able to read the source, to read the dependencies. We will make it easy, and we will encourage, and we will make it the normal way to write contract, to finally write small contract, very easy to read contract, reusable component, composable component. So we want to make writing contract way better, but also consuming, using the contract a way safer, better, and more robust. So yes, we will extend the if we compare with other smart contracting chain in the Cosmos ecosystem or EVM, we will try to make it normal to reuse the code from the users, especially if the code is very good. It has high performances, a good security, etc. So reusability, composability, and interaction between contracts will be at the heart of the chain. We don't want to make the common kind of bubble or sandboxed around the contract. We want to make it like a shared world where every contract is like a building and where you can interact without limit between all the buildings. What else? GNOLand now. GNOLand will be the first chain with GNOLang. And his goal is to experiment mostly two things for the developers. One, to experiment a new approach of proof of contribution, which I think we will talk later in the interview. And the other one is about being the main reference point for other GNOLang chain. So if you develop a DeFi chain with GNOLang, you could be interconnected with GNOLand to get top smart contract to use common contract and data, like, I don't know, the users or something like that, to finally get your application focused, small, secure, easy to review, easy to extend, easy to everything. GNOLand will also be the center of the development of what we call the next generation. Can you hear me?
Mon frère, can you? Now we can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, sorry. So yes, we want to also experiment the next level of IBC features. Right now we call it IBC2, but technically the idea is just to extend current IBC, so maybe it will be a different version, we don't know yet. But at the end, we want to make it to bring the current spirit of IBC from chain to chain to at the level of the contract. So we have a high level of interconnectivity between contracts on the chain. We want to experiment interconnectivity between contracts from different chains. So in terms of getting access to the content, to the data, to update the data, and to, yes, bring the IBC initial vision to the next level with richer applications, still some kind of independence, but interconnectivity, and make the Internet of Chains even more powerful for everyone. Just about, yes, Golang, last thing. So we chose Golang for multiple reasons, but one of them is that it's a good sweet spot between being very easy to read, very easy to write, easy to discover for someone coming from another language, but it's also very robust, fast, and secure. The language here is interpreted by the chain. That's not the binary or the bytecode which is executed, but it's interpreted by the chain, which make it very cheap to communicate from the chain to the contract and from the contract to the chain in terms of getting metadata or just interacting with low-level stuff with the chain. So yes, we are less unboxed, but for the good, for extended feature, extended speed, cheaper smart contract code, cheaper gas fees, etc. And I think that's a good introduction for Gnolan and Gnolang.
Yeah, I agree with that. But on that note, you mentioned some advantages of the Gnolang language, but you also mentioned that that Gnoland will be the first chain that will use this language, correct?
Yes.
So my question now is, so where are the lessons learned from this programming language? Because most Cosmos chains are Rust-based right now, such as Juno, Atrace also coming, also Rust-based. Near will also enable IBC, so again, Rust-based. But now you're introducing a whole new programming language. So where were the lessons learned from you? How can you verify that the language is better proven for smart contracts? So it would be like very interesting to know how you started this experiment, so to say.
At the end, I think the realms where in Web3 or outside of Web3, any language can do absolutely everything. In our case, choosing Golang, which is so something new for the ecosystem, was made for this choice because it's new for the ecosystem, but it's developed by millions of actual developers. Golang is known by many developers. It's enterprise ready, military ready. So we have maybe less people already in the ecosystem, but we want to bring millions of people to the ecosystem and millions of builders. And the other technical reason to choose Golang as a base for Gnolang is that if you speak about Cosmosm or any most of the other chains language choice, most of the time they are compiling bytecode. Rust is efficient to write small binaries, but technically you can also make Golang, Wasm contract, and I guess on Juno, etc. But the binaries will be very, very heavy, and I think that's not optimized for the usage. When you go to interpreted code, actually, I think Golang is better than Rust. That's my opinion, but I think the code is more readable, probably smaller. The basic stdlib is very, very powerful by default. So you have what I call better code in terms of not just less lines. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but the code is more efficient, both in terms of being used right now, but also being reused in 10 years by new eyes discovering the code, etc. In general, when you speak about Rust program outside of the Web3 ecosystem, you are speaking about very powerful small components like proxy or something like that. And Golang is more used in big projects with multiple developers working on many packages, so what I call more complex projects. And I guess there are complex Rust projects, but statistically, Rust is I think, more appropriate for small, ultra-efficient program, where in our case, we're trying to make a big program based on multiple smart contracts that can all work together. And yes, I prefer the experience of making something that stays for the long, that welcome newcomers to the project, that welcome even yourself 2 years later when you don't remember why you made some choices in the past, etc. So yes, Golang is a better choice thanks to the interpreted approach. Is a very good choice, I guess, for getting more developers, even if they are not yet in the ecosystem. And yes, today it would have been harder for us to do it in another way, I guess.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the origin story. You teased earlier a little bit that it's around a year old, the project. And in the beginning, it was all JQuan. And I think a lot of people on Twitter, the Cosmos Twitter community, when we see Gnoland and you know we saw the airdrop announcements and there were debates about it, it's all like a lot of people just affiliated with JQuan. So maybe can you talk a little bit about at what point you got in touch with Jay? Do you know him from like years before that? How did you guys set up the team or how did it open up? And how is Jay's involvement in Gnoland as of today?
So I discovered JQuan years ago by reading his articles, but without knowing who was this guy. I discovered JQuan a second time when he reviewed my PRs on GNO because I discovered GNO before discovering JQuan. So sorry, but I'm not the big fanboy at the origin. But actually, I started by my comfort zone, which is developing and proposing changes in an open source way. And we quickly matched both in terms of how we see a big project to be developed, and also we are kind of complementary. I have a high sense of developer experience. He is more concerned about very low-level blockchain stuff. But at the end, what we have in common, I think, is that we don't want to build the chain. We don't want to build a smart contract. We want to build the platform. We want to build something that we can put in the hands of everyone and just step a step back, take the popcorn, and discover what people will do with our chain. We are both. We have both this thing of creating things and be admire the good stuff, the creative stuff that can be done on it. So we take it like a challenge of making an ecosystem. And right now he's busy with a lot of things and regarding things on GNO, Tendermint, everything to clarify the future. But his plan is to come back to GNO as soon as he can. So you can expect to see contribution. I don't think he will want to be put too much in the spotlight. From what he said, he wants to be very demonstrative on the decentralization of the project. He has in target that he has exactly the same amount of chairs that anyone else in terms of governance, etc. So yes, you will see more and more as a builder, a co-builder of a new ecosystem. And right now, he has not very much time, especially for the public stuff. But he's very concerned by the building stuff, by taking the best decision for the future. For instance, the last contribution he made was about defining the roots of the future sub-DAO system, so a kind of interconnected DAO based on contracts that can be extended by each DAO. So each DAO can define its rules, but all the DAO are interconnected by default. And you can imagine very advanced workflows like a tree of DAOs sharing a top-level budget distributed to the children DAOs recursively. To have the same for the roadmap, for the governance, for everything. So making the whole project liquid in terms of governance, budget, transparency, etc.
So, okay, and so how big is the current team that is working on Gnoland? And are you guys, I guess you've also been around for years, so I guess you also have been around and part of Cosmos for a while. So first question, how big is the team? And then second question, because I know Jay is like currently probably busy with also like restructuring Tendermint or Ignite, and there's also like different variations of it now. Is there also any like collaboration or any any link between Noland and Ignite or new Tendermint?
Yes. Sorry, your first question was?
How big your current team is?
Yes, actually, we have three levels of team membership. We have what we call the approved core members, which were notably involved in the project and made notable contribution, and actually we are only two, J and I. We have the next level, which are the other good contributors. We name them apprentice, but that's more a way to consider that they are in the direction of becoming core member. So actually we have, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10% that are notably more involved or more compatible with the project. And then we have all the other small contributors. In terms of dev, I don't think we have many, maybe 15 or 20 individual contributors, but we are currently hiring the basic core team with full-time dedicated people that will be the foundations to scale the team both with other employees, but also to make it more fluid and easier to make a project mostly developed by external contributors. I think at the beginning will be only the core team will be doing the big changes, but the goal is to find a system where we could eventually have no core team because the system is encouraging external contribution and approving and reviewing the contribution from anyone in the world. So very, very small team, but currently hiring. And I think as soon as we have 3 to 4 new, very, very, very good, very expert Golang developer, we can easily add more exotic profiles. So people that are less good in Go, but very good in smart contracts, or I don't know. We can start having very expert people in one niche part of the project. So I guess at the end of the year, we will be bigger, but next year will be a big expansion. And about restructuring, etc. GNO is still unclear, but what is clear is that GNO will be linked to the other ecosystem. It will be one of the projects. It will be an independent project. But the goal is to collaborate with the rest. I don't know how much we'll collaborate, but yes, there is a real goal to make a real official project of this ecosystem and to encourage collaboration while staying independent, like the IBC spirit most of the time.
That's cool. Also fascinating to see how fast you guys are growing. On that note, I would like to know, where do you see the role of GNOland in the broader Cosmos ecosystem? I know many people might wonder or might have heard about GNOland for the very first time after governance proposal, I think it was 69. So yes. What is the role of GNOland specifically in the Cosmos ecosystem, maybe also in the context of hub neutrality? Could you maybe touch on this as well?
Yes. To be honest, that's not exactly my specialty. I'm more in building the best smart contracting platform in the world, and this is on the side. But I know that actually Jake Wong wants to build a project that follows the initial spirit of Tendermint, IBC, Cosmos ecosystem, and go even beyond. He wants the next level of the original vision. So original vision is about having many independent chains, having very focused chains, and having the most used and central ones that stay very stable. Ideally, that won't change that much for years. So we can encourage modularity, not on big monolith, but on the internet of chains itself. And for that reason, Prop 69 was seen as a danger for Jay. And what he wanted was to make sure that, one, there is still a place on the internet of chains that follow the initial vision. So not making too many changes, etc., keeping things simple and encouraging building around, but not changing not going in the monolith approach, not trying to compete with SRM and going in the layering system. So right now the plan is to collaborate with the hub and actually to have maybe just one link with the rest of the IBC, which would be the hub. So we really want to work with the hub and be linked with them. We are also prepared to stay independent if the two philosophies become incompatible. And we will welcome anyone that fits with our vision on GNU. And Tandem Into 2, which is developed from within the GNU repo today, it's like Python 3 versus Python 2, in the language scape. It's not a better version of Tandem Mint. It's a more pure one, so it will probably be less performant, less modular, but it will do one job and do it very well. And that's another thing Jay wants to develop with GNU, with Tandem Mint 2, etc. And that the Prop 69 was seen as something bad. We want simple things that do one job. We want to build around, we want to interconnect things. And we want to make things that will work for tens or hundreds of years and with minimal maintenance, etc. To give an example, one of the inspiration for the project is Ancient Egypt because they build very simple buildings that stayed for thousands of years. And we believe that modularity comes in general with complexity and additional constraints that make it harder to make very, very long-term oriented projects. And yes, Tandem Mint 1 is focused on powering very powerful and flexible chains with high performance and high modularity needs. It will still make a lot of sense to start chains on Tandem Mint 1, for sure. But we think that for the most feature-stable chains, the ones that won't change that much, Tandem Mint 2 will eventually be a better choice. And GNU is clearly going in a maximalist approach of the original vision with simple stuff, no single implementation, single way of doing peer-to-peer, single way of doing cryptography, nothing complex. And yes, actually we want to collaborate, but we also prepare for independence if we can't work together, but that's not the plan.
I think one big link that also the cosmonaut community is highly anticipating was that there was a snapshot of the Cosmos Hub, and Jay teased already that the initial rollout or the distribution of the NOT token will be going to Atom stakers and Atom holders. Is there any details? I mean, personally, I've seen some tweets here and there, but I don't know what's the latest on the airdrop distribution. Is there more snapshots in the planning, or what is the current stage of the rollout of the NOT token?
Yeah, actually we clarified, I think, the two last questions last week, so I can give you the last known version of the plan. So we plan to distribute 75% of the 1 billion minted tokens through the airdrop. So this was public from very early, but for newcomers. What wasn't clear is that we don't have a whale cap or minimum. We just take the amount of atoms. And as you said, there is some staked and hold tokens, but we will also consider unbounding tokens. Actually, we will try to make a snapshot of the global balance of absolutely everything. Another part that was unclear was about as exchanges and escrow accounts. So our goal is also to represent the snapshot with high fidelity. So we won't skip, drop, or whatever those accounts, but we will freeze them. We will freeze the exchanges account. We will freeze the escrow account linked to other chains. So for instance, Osmosis will be, the Osmosis escrow account and balance will be freeze. Will be frozen until the exchange, the other chain, give us a proof or give us their own version of the distribution so they can distribute their balance to their own users. So at the end, it's simple. We take the amount of atoms staked and unbonding liquid. We give it to the users when they are users, and we freeze them for the known multi-user accounts. There won't be a secondary snapshot for your question. We have one snapshot which was made on May the 20th during Prop 69. This is the only snapshot. So what can happen is to have additional kind of airdrops if the chains or exchanges create their own distribution of their part. But that won't be another, we won't mint anymore GNOT. There will be only 1 billion forever, except if we burn them. But no more snapshot from us, but you can expect additional airdrop from your other chains.
Interesting. And you said...
One thing was another question about, and do you... so you're cool with Liquid, Stake, etc. But what about LP tokens? Actually, that's answered by the previous thing. That if Osmosis, which is probably the well-known chain with liquidity pools, developed distribution spread taking into account the LP, then yes, you will have it. But on Atom, we are focused on staked, liquid, and unbonding. And if anyone has any idea to improve the script, I'm here to listen. But yes, at the end, absolutely every direct and indirect representation of Atom balance can be taken into account depending on the other chains and other exchanges.
I guess for like in case there's a future snapshot for Atom balances, are you in talks with liquid staking projects like Stride? I mean, Stride has now, I think, $5 million or even more, like $7 or $8 million worth of Atom and ST Atom on Osmosis. Like, I think, and it requires you guys to like talk directly with them. Like, are you also in talks with the liquid staking providers? And then also, just to clarify, did I hear correctly? 75% of the Genesis supply will be given out to the Atom community, basically.
Yes,
that's big. and then for the second question, maybe you can talk about this because I know liquid staking is going to be big in the next few weeks and months. Like, are you in talks with these projects or?
I'm not in talks, but actually I followed this project. This is a topic I like. Technically, very interesting. I don't think they were already live at the date of the snapshot, but if that's the case, we enter in the topic of exchanges and escrow accounts. We can say, okay, we freeze your balance if the liquid staking is based on locking the tokens against the contract or wallet. And as soon as you can show us a proof that you can distribute it fairly to your own lockers, then it's okay. But I don't know if they make the staking, if they ask their user to actually send the token somewhere else or lock them against a contract. I don't have this info. But at the end, for Stride or any other approach that asks people to send the tokens, consider that they will be frozen until they can be dropped in the future.
Mm. Excellent. And then you already said that there will be only 1 billion tokens. So I guess there won't be any inflation. Is that correct? Maybe you can talk a little bit about the current design of the tokenomics and how you get to these 1 billion and also maybe some of the utilities for the token, because I think there's a dual token system, right?
Yes. Actually, most of the tokenomics is not on the GNOT token with 1 billion, but on the GNOSH token, which will be minted progressively. So we are replacing the proof of stake by proof of contribution, and we are replacing the action of staking our liquid tokens by earning KNOSH distributed by the chain, by a DAO, by something, or minted. We don't have the details exactly, but the plan is to create KNOSH progressively and dilute the existing one. We don't plan to burn anything. We don't plan to make a second market on the KNOSH. We want it to be just a like everyone was taking more and more over time and only living on the dust. The GNOT token will be capped to 1 billion, and the goal is to make it a circular economy. So the GNOT could leave the chain to go to another IBC chain and come back. But yes, we don't plan to mint anything. Some of utility, the biggest one is to be the native token of GNOLand and to be the native token on the entire GNOLand based chains. So one of our goals is to pay the contributions, to pay good developers, to pay good contract, to pay good code. GNOSH won't be for all the cases. It will be for the, like Ubuntu, it will be for the bounties and for contributions that are going directly for GNOLand. But we also want to give rewards to the best contract. So based on the usage, in that case, we also earn GNOT tokens without having GNOSH. So I think this is Evmos, which is doing this too, giving some kind of royalty. I don't know if, I think the term is bad, but some kind of rewards for the contract writer. At the end, we want, I don't know if you are all aware of how proof of stake is working in general, but in general, proof of staking is not like Bitcoin where you generate and where you mint new tokens on each run. It's more about filling a bucket with all the gas fees and distribute it to the validators based on their staking power. In our case, we will try to give a percentage of the gas fee to the validators for their technical work. Another big percentage for the GNOSH holders. So you have GNOSH tokens, you will earn GNOT and always, every day, etc. And the rest, maybe the a minimal part, but still a part of the gas fees, will be distributed to the contract writer. And when I say contract writer, it's more contract writers, including the call library. So you can imagine writing a very good library on GNOLand, that is used by another chain for, I don't know, a DeFi chain with billions of takes every day. And you can earn GNOT token without having made any contribution directly for GNOLand and Ubuntu, just writing good libraries and earning GNOT. So I don't know all the utilities that we will have, but the main one is about being the native token and kind of the licensing token when you consider that writing code and earning GNOT becomes a way to get paid. Actually, that's not my specialty in terms of Web3 stuff. I'm more into building stuff than to building good tokenomics.
That's awesome. Yeah. What a cool wrap up. Now that we talked so much about the airdrop and also about the tokenomics, I want to move the discussion to another topic. So one big part of GNOLand is proof of contribution. We all know proof of work, we all know proof of stake, but what is proof of contribution? Could you give us a brief intro to this topic?
Yes, sure. So the proof of contribution first won't be something based on GNOLang, but something for GNOLand. There will be other GNOLang based chain with that we probably have proof of stake or any other mechanism. And even official GNOLang team chain, we probably have proof of stake and probably have proof of stake as contract in GNOLand. But yes, the main system, the things that make a circular economy around making transactions and running validators, etc., will be proof of contribution. And yes, the idea is to distribute the gas fees, distribute the tokens that should be normally distributed to the best stakers, to finally the best contributors based on their amount of GNOSH tokens. So this is literally like proof of staking, but without the manual action of staking, and your GNOSH are not transferable. So we don't have this kind of liquid, staked, unbonding during 21 days. You have your GNOSH that generate GNOT for the rest of your life and even after. And what I said in the previous question was about, and we want to also give rewards to other kind of developers, because here I'm talking about people contributing to the core of the chain. So if you make bounties, you will earn GNOSH. If you make notable unplanned contribution, you will earn GNOSH. If you make even non-technical stuff, community stuff, etc., that are compatible with earning GNOSH, you will earn GNOSH. And you can have people making many small contributions or people making very notable and long contribution. For instance, you can imagine having someone writing a good book about GNO and helping the project a lot. So more philosopher profile or not a developer. And when you write books, that's not like a developer which makes 10 PRs every day. It's about writing something during 1 year and then having an impact on the world during 20 years. So for this kind of contribution, we will give a big amount of GNOSH because it's not relevant to just the day of the release, but it covers your previous effort and after. So yes, GNOSH will be distributed for actual bounty hunters. We want to distribute GNOSH also for people trying on their best. So for instance, if we have a bounty and we open two competing solutions, we want to not only pay the best one, but to also thanks the second one, which made an effort. We documented why the second solution is not as good as the first one, etc. So GNOSH and the proof contribution approach is about protecting the chain directly on the code, indirectly with non-code stuff, and indirectly with code stuff that is not merged. And the goal is to make it normal to have enough GNOSH tokens to have a monthly salary. So finally, to make open source work that pay you like a normal company. We strongly believe that the open source ecosystem is one of the most beautiful in the world, but most of the people are doing it on the side and they will make Web2 or other job for money. And we believe that we can make something that, okay, you develop good code, so you will earn a part of the reward of the chain or the project or the user or the TX using that code. So we want to pay well people making good contributions. Actually, that's simple. That's just the most fair and most natural way of paying someone. We are not based because you are good at giving a real or false curriculum vitae. You make good contribution, you earn rewards, and the more notable, the more obviously useful your contribution is, the more money you will make. And you have even choice to stop working for some time, so not creating new GNOSH, but leave on an always diluting amount of GNOSH, or try to be very, very intensively on the project for many years to make a huge amount of money. We try to, yes, to create a new economy, very accessible, very normal. Maybe not I don't think that's a good term, but like a universal basic income for developers. We want open source to be paid by default.
Just very quick, Maffrey, I got to run, but really appreciate all your insights and also Randy Tokenomics, the airdrop. I think Yuri will have one or two more questions also about your gig and your presentation at Cosmoverse. We're really excited to see you in a couple of days. So have a safe trip. I got to run. Thanks, everybody, for joining. If you have questions, maybe there's still a few minutes in the end. But yeah, we'll see you. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Thanks. See you.
Yeah. I can just conclude also what Michael just mentioned. But before we open the room for some questions and before we talk about your involvement at Cosmoverse, one last question regarding the developmental stage of things. Could you maybe talk about where we are now with GNOLand? So what is the state? We mentioned a lot of things. So when is, for example, the mainnet launch? And what can we expect in the next couple of months from GNOLand?
Yes, so we are still very early. We are still building the foundation of the language and the chain. Some people started writing contracts on our testnet, so people can still can already experiment and try to build their product. We are focused on hiring more core team members right now. Something interesting that we'll organize a competition in the following month, tentatively titled Game of Realms. So like the game of stake, but for writing the best smart contract realms, where people can compete on writing the best smart contract, participating in bug bounties and pushing the chain to its limits, or have the highest contribution score for non-technical contributors. Our next version update will be launched in the next few weeks. It will include namespaces, so you can start writing all your application and libraries under your personal username or organization name like GitHub. And an initial version of our Liquid Governance model, which is the framework for writing interconnected DAOs. And I don't have any date for mainnet, but we are still in the building phase of the roadmap. But actually, if you want to start writing your own code on your own smart contract, you can on the testnet. And the testnet will have iterations. And I can say that we want to make it as soon as possible. And we believe that it can be sooner than later, because actually we are not building an application, we are building a framework for the users, and this part is already well established.
Nice. Thank you for this overview. And yeah, excited what is up to come in the future for Gnoland. I'm now opening the room, now opening the stage for some questions. So guys, if you have a question for Moffre, please send me a speaking request and I will add you and you can ask your question. But when waiting for these questions, Moffre, maybe we talk about another topic in the meantime. So Cosmoverse will take place in Colombia this year. You will also hold a keynote. So first question is, what do you think about the location in terms of Medellin? When you heard that Cosmoverse will kick off in Medellin this year, what were your thoughts? And besides, what can cosmonauts expect from you and from Gnoland at Cosmoverse? So if you could share some alpha, please.
Yes, okay. But the location, I don't know. That's a new country for me, so I'm still happy to discover new things. It will be hard for me in terms of time shift, but that's okay. And about the event itself, it will be a good occasion, occasion for me to meet other GNO contributors for the first time physically. We will have a stand, so anyone can ask us question or try to enter in the hiring loop. We will have one talk where I will go deep dive into many topics and with supporting slides. And we'll have a workshop where people can start writing their first contracts. So I hope to meet amazing people, to have the new question, to maybe hire my next colleagues, and to follow the other events and try to find maybe your next partner chains or partner projects. So yes, a big, I'm very excited. I think that will be the more intense Cosmos event for me in the year. And I clearly have planned to come back with good news, with new contributor, with new ideas, etc.
Nice, and I'm very confident that this will be the case. One last question from my end. It's a community question that I picked up from the comments from yesterday. The question is, what is a good way for non-technical people to get involved in Gnoland? Are you planning events or meetups in the not-so-distant future?
So you can look at the existing bounties, but we will soon release a new bounty board with many tasks even for non-technical people. You can join the Discord and start collaborating with other people. We want to help project building on GNO, so it's also a good way to directly work with us. You can help spread the word about the project. A good example is a team called OnBlock. I think they are based in Seoul. They are a member of our community and make contribution regularly. They recently released a one-on-one guide to help people get started. So there are lots of ways to contribute without making actual PRs against the repository. Another contributor maintaining the Gnoland.space website is very useful too, because we have a better website with more documentation, etc. So you can actually be developer or non-developer without developing to the chain and still helping the chain and earning rewards. We are looking into having self-organized meetups on a local level. So yes, you can help the community by organizing your own local meetups. If you're interested in taking part in organizing meetups or just expanding the GNO community on the internet or locally, you can contact us and we will try to help. And we aim to diversify the co-contributors and bounties. And for instance, we would like to collaborate with non-technical people like philosophers, like people able to build rules for a non-chain constitution. We want any form of contribution that will have a long-lasting impact, such as writing a book, writing specifications, or just be creative. So if you're interested, you can join the community and propose your plan.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds very cool. And of course, check out the website if you're interested in doing so. Will be like very easily find. Just go on the Twitter space, on the Twitter page of GNOLand, and from there you will find a very good way to dive deeper. Moffrey, I see you. You answered all the questions very, very clearly. We don't have any questions for you. Cool. With that said, we are getting also closer to the hour. I want to thank you very much for joining the space today. Very exciting things are going on at GNOLand. So yeah, I can't wait to finally meet you in Medellin. So yeah, have a safe trip and I see you on the weekend.
Yep, thank you. See you on the weekend.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Cosmoverse having a chat with Manfred Toron about GNO, proof of contribution, and next generation of smart contracts. Recorded on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focus, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all around wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envision in the middle men. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, write off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Vision in the middle men, listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.